Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. It picks up from what we heard John read earlier. Then he, Jesus, left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of hell, fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." Thank you, God, for sowing us in your rich and righteous fields. Again with the parables? Yes, again with the parables. Jesus based his parables on things his listeners would know and understand and could relate to. And there's something in this particular parable that we can relate to living here in Ruidoso. We know about the weeds around here, don't we? Up in Alto, the Alto Lakes POA prepares a solution to kill the thistles that spring up in the spring and makes it available for everyone to spray on the thistles and get rid of them. Don't quote me, but I think in the village they can fine you for not taking care of the thistles on your property. They're invasive and easily take over. So the proper and wise thing to do is to nip them in the bud. It seems a little odd to realize the landowner's workers came to him and said, "Hey boss, didn't you plant good seed in the field?" Well, duh, who would deliberately go out and plant bad seed in their field? Who would be that careless with such a big investment as a viable crop? Who would waste all that water and work and time for nothing? How hopeful that farmer must have been at the beginning. He went to Tractor Supply and got a good big bag of seeds and sowed them happily, planting dreams along with the seeds. He was excited for the harvest until he wasn't. The servants could tell something was amiss in the field. They were worried because they had a stake in the harvest too. Caring for the crop and harvesting it was their work. That's how they earned their wages and maybe a bonus if the harvest was bountiful enough. It might surprise you to learn that in ancient times it was not unheard of for a farmer's rivals to go out and try to sabotage his fields, just as Jesus described in this parable. So Jesus' audience wouldn't have said, "Wow, that's wax to wreck the wheat," as he told the story. And the wording implies that he told the same story over and over to different audiences. They would have been nodding their heads saying, "Yeah, something just like that happened to my cousin's uncle's brother's nephew." They understood how it could happen. The servants wanted to go right out and rip all the weeds out of the ground, but the landowner nixed that idea. How could they tell which was the good crop and which was the bad? In their zeal and zest, they could pull out the good plants along with the bad. The weed that had been planted among the wheat was a plant called bearded darnel. It was also called tares. It grew as tall as wheat and resembled it in appearance, but it was poisonous to both humans and animals, not worth planting and certainly not worth harvesting and eating. There was a dilemma in the fields. One crop could be turned into the bread of life you can eat and survive on. The other crop would become nothing but the bread of death that you couldn't eat. The roots of the darnel would intertwine with the roots of the wheat as it grew, making it nearly impossible to unentwine them. The ears of real wheat are heavy and will droop, while the ears of the darnel stand up straight. That's probably how the servants noticed that all was not well with the wheat. The landowner's counsel was to wait until the harvest, when the distinction between the wacky weed and worthy wheat would be clear. And so they waited. And when the time was ripe and the wheat was ripe, they harvested everything. Then it was easier to see what was good and what was worthless. Then they were able to set aside the good crop and burn up the weeds. Jesus helpfully interpreted the parable for his disciples. It was all pretty straightforward. I love how he said, "The field is the world. Just something about that phrase enthralls and enchants and challenges me. Jesus himself was the one who had sown the good seeds, as farmers usually did, scattering them hither and yon and into furrows created by hoeing or by plowing, working diligently during the day. But of course, Satan would do his dirty work at night. He works in darkness because he can't stand the light, since it exposes his dastardly deeds. Satan is ever and always trying to upend and upstage Jesus' plan to redeem and reconcile the world with God. He waited until everyone was lulled and dulled and distracted and struck. He snuck in and planted his own seed in the field of the world. He did it when everyone was asleep so he wouldn't be caught. There's no blame in this part of the parable. No one was castigated for being asleep. It was understood they deserved their rest. Everyone had worked hard to prepare and plant. Who would have thought an enemy would come in to try and ruin all their toil? Perhaps another lesson to glean from this harvest parable is to be on your guard against the schemes of the enemy. Satan was probably very pleased with himself at his trickery, sliding in when no one was looking and spoiling things for others. That's certainly his MO. He must have been baffled and frustrated to hear the landowner say, "Let's wait for the harvest before we tear everything out." The enemy thought he had outwitted the farmer. He wanted everything to be torn up and torn out so he could gloat and his minions could wreak their own havoc on the world. Satan does not take being thwarted very well. He often doubles down on his evil efforts when that happens, and that is when we most have to stand tall and strong and resist him. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you," because he's a coward, and in the strength of the Lord, we can resist and defeat him. Many people see this parable as a story about the condition of the church today, that intermingled with the good seed the Lord has planted is evil seed planted by Satan, waiting to destroy and ruin everything. Some may be compelled to look around their sanctuaries and try to discern who's a good seed and who's a weed. But another lesson of this parable is that we have no way to judge who is good and who is not. And we can ruin the harvest if we think we can truly discern the difference and start tearing things out. The wheat and the weeds had intertwined roots. They were growing together, receiving the same sun and the same rain. You couldn't tell them apart until the very end, only when it was obvious which planting was good and which planting was bad. Jesus' counsel to us is to wait. The truth will out. We may have a flash of naivete and say, "But everyone who goes to church is good." If it seems inconceivable that among the good and righteous wheat there could be something noxious and negative, think of this. In the disciples' very own midst was one who had been planted among them by the Satan. They were not aware of it for a long time, but Jesus knew. He knew from the beginning that one walking and working with them and healing and helping them was Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, the one destined to be lost. It struck me recently that Judas had all the perks to do all the works Jesus had entrusted to all his disciples. He was sent forth with the ability to heal and cast out demons, just as all the rest were. He was certainly doing good works along with the other disciples. But John wrote a scathing assessment of him in his gospel. When a woman anointed Jesus' feet with an expensive ointment, Judas pretended to be all indignant and righteous and upset about it. And maybe that's a sign of the weeds pretending to be holier than thou, than everyone else, and coming off as extremely judgmental. John wrote that Judas objected, saying indignantly, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." John scoffed at his pseudo-piety. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas was among those good seeds of God, and yet he was doing evil. But you know, Jesus never called him out or cast him out. Even knowing that he would betray him for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus kept Judas in the loop until the time was ripe for the harvest. Jesus knew how to wait. I hope we do too. As much as we want to drag out and toss aside the weeds we know or think we know are among us, what if we botch it out? It's God's job to divide and discard in judgment, not ours. What we best do, the only thing we can do, is make sure we're going to be the good weed that is saved. Just be sure we are growing strong and properly. I kind of feel sorry for the weeds. Did they know they were weeds? Was there any hope for them to be saved from the burning to come? Did they have any choice? Do weeds have a chance to join in the harvest? They were rooted in a good field. Could that change their fate? Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. We can trust him to know which weeds are worthy if we are worthy. Once everything's grown, everything will be known. And Jesus' promise will prove true. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, gently sown, fully grown, and finally known. And as Psalm 1:5 tells us, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. May we stand tall and grow strong as we wait for the day of harvest, for surely it will come. Let us pray. God, take away from us our habit of judging others' worthiness to be in your kingdom. Help us to be strong wheat that works to produce the bread of life and to find a place in the safety of your barn in your kingdom. Keep us sowing and growing until the day of harvest. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, but now 'twas while I see. I got a peaceful loving feeling, and I know he won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on higher ground. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. I got a peaceful loving feeling, and I know he won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on higher ground. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I've got a peace loving feeling, and I know he won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing. Yes, I'm already standing, 'cause I'm already